The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Act 2, Scene 5 of Curtain Call. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter. As the Richmond area theater scene has continued to get more robust, Style Weekly has brought on a third reviewer to help cover all the action. The Times-Dispatch now has three reviewers. They welcomed Susie Halbenstock back into the reviewing fold a few months back. Today I'd like to introduce the new reviewer for Style Weekly, Claire Boswell. Welcome, Claire.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to talk about John a little bit. First of all, John is a Cadence production in partnership with Virginia Rep at the Theater Gym through November 12th. It's about a young couple who stays at a quaint Gettysburg B&B where their relationship is challenged. The slightly eccentric host and her blind friend add to the peculiar tone. What'd you think of the show, Claire?
You know, I was pretty excited about it going in. I didn't read a whole lot about it, but I knew a little bit about Annie Baker, the playwright. Honestly, I think I left the theater scratching my head a little bit, and it took some time sort of sitting with what I had just seen and thinking about it and, you know, piecing things together before I kind of had an opinion, and ultimately, I think I liked it a lot.
I didn't like it as much. I agree that there's a lot going on, and if you read the program, you say, oh my goodness, there's all kind of things I should know about. This is not in my review, but I had this notion after I saw it of I go into an art gallery or a museum, and I'll see a painting. It usually either speaks to me right then or it doesn't. And
right.
It doesn't matter how famous it is or who the artist is or what the process was that made this painting. If it doesn't speak to me, it doesn't speak to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this play obviously did have some depth and all kind of things going on in there. I thought a lot of that was red herrings because I kept waiting for a ghost to appear or
right.
something scary, and nothing ever did. It was just all this quaint stuff happening. I kept thinking, where's this going? And as it dragged on through three acts and 2.5 hours, I said, when is something going to happen? And the answer, it doesn't. There's really not a lot of plot. It's an examination of people through quirky details, small moments, and mostly quiet encounters. And I thought most of the red herrings just turned it out to be curiosities.
Right after I saw the play, I was sort of thinking, what did I just see? What was the point of all of that?
Yeah.
But the more I thought about it, and especially as I started to sort of craft my review, I started to realize that the characters kept talking about being watched and having
right.
a shared sense of being watched. And I thought I'd seen a play that was just about human connection. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought this is about the connection between an artist and an audience. Those characters were being watched by,
right.
by us,
exactly.
you know?
Exactly. Let me ask you about the actual production a little
sure.
bit. Because conceptually, I get that stuff. I thought the actors were very genuine. I thought their interactions were effective. I liked Jean H. Miller, who's new
mm-hmm.
in town. She was very amusingly commanding in her role. I thought Rusty Wilson, the director, he was not afraid to let those small moments play out at a very unforced pace, which is another way of saying slow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay for starters, but I thought it, as it progressed, it never really went anywhere. The pace never changed. It never built any kind of momentum or a climax in a traditional sense at all.
I agree about that, actually. One of the main things that I would say was a downfall of this production is that sometimes I felt like the acting was very restrained, which allowed for those quiet moments, but also kind of kept it from building that momentum that you're talking about.
Right, right.
And there
right.
were certain scenes where I could tell we were supposed to feel a climax, but I almost felt like that restraint that had served the actors well earlier held those scenes back from being really completely believable for me.
On the more positive side, let's talk about the set, which I said was warmly magnificent. It was quite an enormous set for that small space and was beautifully designed by Rich Mason and Laura Copland, who did all that amazing
mm-hmm.
faux wallpaper. And I thought Andrew Bonnewell did a lovely job of very subtly making the light changes.
Yes.
Obviously, they came up and down when they needed to. I did have a problem with that background radio. Obviously, that was in the script that it was supposed to be on all the time, but I thought it was a little loud sometimes. It was hard to hear the dialogue and distracting, ultimately, and it really didn't pay off. You never found out why the radio was always on. It was just one of those quirky things.
I thought that the radio being constantly on was one of those ways in which Mertis is kind of controlling things,
right,
you know,
right,
and
right.
she's insisting that that radio is going to be on. I think even the other characters were annoyed by it the same way that we were.
Right.
So
right.
I felt that that actually added to being reminded constantly we're watching a play. So the sound wasn't a problem for me. I absolutely agree about the set design. I mean, it was almost naturalistic in that we like walked into a bed and breakfast. I thought the set design was one of the great strengths of this production.
So I think we kind of agree that it's one of those shows that you really need to know a lot about. And if you don't, and maybe even if you do, it didn't work for me. It was too slow and it really never went anywhere.
Yeah, I would say that it's not for your average theater goer. I think it's for somebody who's really interested in theater as a medium to speak about itself. It's a, you know, if you're interested in metafiction or meta theater, this is the play for you. If you want to go see a, you know, a really satisfying story, this is probably not it.
Right, right.
Good. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Claire. And Claire will be back next week to talk about herself, what her background is, her qualifications, and what she's looking forward to as a reviewer for Style Weekly. With the possibility that the U.S. may elect its first female president, this has been called the Year of the Woman. Theater Lab is calling their season Women at War. The four main stage shows will all be directed by women and focus on women in pivotal roles. Their Cellar series will also feature a year-long fest of one-woman shows. Kicking off this theme is Mother Courage, directed by our guest Carrie Wormald. Welcome, Carrie.
Thank you very much for having me.
So what was it about Mother Courage that made you want to direct it? It's Bertolt Brecht. It's kind of difficult. Why did that appeal to you?
Mother Courage is a play that is so current, he may as well have written it yesterday. And as a result of that, it has to be done now. We purposely put it in before the election, although it isn't a conservative play. It isn't a liberal play. It's not a Democratic play or a Republican play. It is an anti-war play. It is often called the best anti-war play ever written. And we happen to have in Richmond at the moment, Bumi Pedersen, who is playing Mother Courage, and she was born to play the role.
And she is at VCU?
She's a VCU MFA candidate right now. She's royalty in the Charlottesville area. Everyone knows her there, and we're lucky to have her on loan for a while.
Now, for people who do not know, obviously us theater people know Bertolt Brecht and know Mother Courage. Mm-hmm. For non-theater people, give us the short description of what the play is and why it's unique and interesting.
All of Brecht's plays are somewhat episodic, as opposed to having a big, grand, dramatic structure with a climax, although this one sort of does have that as well. So he talks about aspects of the war scene by scene. The falseness of recruiting promises, for example, in the first scene, and the role of religion in war, the role of war profiteers, which is what Mother Courage is thought of, and just basically the human toll it takes on every participant in the war. All things that we talk about today, and Brecht wrote it in 1941 as an exile in the United States, during Hitler's reign.
Yikes, that doesn't sound like a musical comedy. Why do you think people should come see this show? What are you doing unique or interesting to make it compelling?
Well, what's funny about that question is it is a musical, as most of his plays were, and we had original music composed by a VCU graduate in musical performance named Savannah Hatcher, who I happened to teach as a high school student, and it is really light and it is very modern, and there is a lot of humor in the play. It's the kind of gallows humor you would expect to find on a battlefield.
With this election year, several shows in town have political themes. Two examples just closed, Virginia Rep 1776 and Firehouse's Ubu 84, and Quill is getting ready to mount Assassins in November. So how does this show fit into that theme?
I was thrilled that all the companies in town were picking up on that. It's just smart. I think every theater company looked at their season and knew what everyone was thinking about and talking about. So why wouldn't you want to go see plays that continue the conversation or heat the conversation?
If we haven't had enough conversation about this election
yes,
anyway.
But this is smart conversation based on the work of smart playwrights.
Right,
and
right.
I mean, the lyrics in 1776, for example, is how I learned U.S. history, except for the stuff I learned from Hamilton. But the audience is going to be invigorated by the use of the theme by so many theater companies, as though they're all working together, having one big old political party that doesn't make you want to cry.
What is the one thing that you would say to people in closing that might encourage someone to come see the show and why it would be exciting?
We're staging the play in a rather unique way. The audience physically gets to go on the journey with Mother Courage as she crosses and recrosses Europe during the 30 Years' War. There is no question in my mind that it is going to spark some really interesting after theater conversations, which we're inviting people to do right there in the space with the actors. I can't imagine people won't have really strong opinions about what they saw. And I think that kind of theater is really exciting.
Great. And that, speaking of discussion, I'm sure in a future episode of Curtain Call, we will be discussing the show. So we'll see how that discussion goes. Thank you so much for coming, Carrie. Break a Leg on opening night. By the way, the play is playing October 28th through November 12th at Theater Lab's basement. You can visit theaterlabva.org for more information. Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you.
We want to thank Open Source RVA for hosting us on WRIR, and we'll be back in 2 weeks. This is Jerry Williams from Sifter.
And this is Claire Boswell from Style Weekly.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theater Critics Circle website at artsies.org.